good to see each and every one of you. As I mentioned earlier, I enjoy getting up here presenting lessons. I enjoy putting these lessons together and how much it helps me to grow, to study God's Word, to look into it. And there's so much in God's Word for us to look into, to understand, so that we can truly be His children as He would have us to be, those faithful servants that our Lord and Savior would have us to be. We do realize that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's all here for us in His Word that helps us through the hard times, that helps us to continue steadfast in the doctrine He's given us. But we must look into it. We must be not only hearers of God's Word, but we must be doers. So as we do look into God's Word, let us truly let God's Word correct us and instruct us and guide us as He would have us to go. He's given us all things that we know. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished through all good works. So, we have that Word, and what a great and glorious thing it is that we have His Word to look into. And so, this morning I want us to look into another parable. Last week we looked into the parable here of the wedding feast. And this morning I want us to look at another parable. Christ taught us a lot in these parables we can look into to help us really understand so much. And so this morning I want us to look into that parable as Brother William done read, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I want us to look into that this morning and look more closely at it. Most of us understand, I believe, what it means to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. I think most of us understand that. That's with every fiber of our being, we must love God. We must faithfully serve Him until we are called home with Him. So that is what we must do. We understand those things. We must understand that takes putting total trust in Him. Total trust in God so that we can do those things. But what about our neighbor? What about loving our neighbor as ourselves? Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? This is what we're going to concentrate on this morning, loving our neighbors. I want us to think more in detail on this. In today's society, we all know this is lost. This is something that is gone, is loving our neighbors. This type of mindset. Nobody cares for one another anymore. In the gist of it, in the majority of the world. There's still a lot of good people there and a lot of good people who would help you. I was stranded on the road. I reckon it's been a year, half 2 years ago, me and the boys got stranded on the side of a road, hauling some cows, coming back, and my radiator blowed up my truck. We were stuck on the side of the road. And I had a gentleman who stopped and helped us while we was there. We were stuck on the side of the road, and I told him I had help coming, but it would be a few hours before he got there. I had my brother on the way. So this gentleman went back without telling us and got us some box of fried chicken and drinks and all for me and the kids and brought back to us. He done a good deed. Would not take no money from me. And there is still a lot of good out there in this world, but the majority of the world, they do not care for one another no more. There's no love for their neighbor. We cannot ever let this come into our own lives. We're going to look at some of these things today. We're going to look at the example that we see here from this parable. So, think about these things. As we look into this parable here of the Good Samaritan taught by the Lord, we're going to look at some things here. We're going to look at the lawyer's questions to our Lord. We're going to look at the attitudes of the characters involved in the parable. And we're going to, I want us to examine our own attitudes today. Only us really know our attitudes and how we are today, but we need to look into them real closely ourselves of our own attitudes today. So let's get on into the lesson. In Luke chapter 10, we're going to look here at this parable here that we've done in red. But I want us to look here now at the lawyer's questions that was asked through the Lord. There in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, starting, he says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying." So we don't see what the lawyer here's motive was. He was testing our Lord and Savior. He was going to test him here. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So we see already that the lawyer was not sincere in this question here he was asking the Lord. He was not sincere. He was only testing our Lord. Trying to put our Lord, you might say, on trial here. And then we see how Jesus answered him. Jesus answered him and asked it back. He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Jesus answered his question by asking a question. And he asked him here, what is written in the law? Because he asked a question here, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered him by saying, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? Well, just think about that ourselves, understanding these things. It is written. Christ knew it was written for him. He did not have to answer this question. This was already written down for him in the law. We don't have to ask this question. It is written for us. We should know these things. We know many times where Christ is used. Have you not read? Have you not read? It is written. It is written. Very important, we must get out of this very beginning here, is that we should know God's Word. We should know what His will is because He has given it to us. Well, he asked a question here. Look here how he answered here, the lawyer. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So the lawyer gave this answer back. Jesus said, and he said unto him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. The lawyer knew his answer. When he asked God these things, when he was testing him, Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew what the lawyer was after, knew that he was testing him. So Jesus, in return, tested him, asked him a question with his question. The lawyer answered these things, but yeah, he answered these things correctly. We see here in Jesus' answer, he said, you have answered rightly. But then he tells him, do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will live. But yet that was not enough here for the lawyer. He, wanting to justify himself, it says there in verse 29, wanting to justify himself, so he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So now he's asking another question, trying to justify himself here. And so we have the lawyer's attitude here. But yet Jesus now is where he gives us in this parable. Jesus now has answered him by speaking this parable when he asked a question, who is my neighbor? So if we're going to love our neighbor, as it's just been written, what he just quoted here to him, we see the two greatest commandments here. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So if we're going to love our neighbor as ourself, we too must really understand, though, who is our neighbor. Well, the lawyer here was just trying to justify himself asking these things, but this is a great parable, I think, for us to look into. And now Jesus answering him and speaks this parable here. Now I want us to look into it. Who is my neighbor? There in verse 30, Jesus answered him and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three, Lord asking here, do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves? That's when he said, he showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So now as we look into this, I want us to look at three things here. Look at the attitudes here of these different men that we see. I want us to really look in closely at their attitudes that they had towards this one who fell among the thieves. So we see here this man who fell among thieves. and think about the thieves themselves. What did the thieves themselves want? What did they love? Well, of course, they took him, beat him, stripped him of his clothes, took his possessions. What was they after? They was after one thing. They didn't love God. They didn't love the neighbor. They loved money. They loved money. That's what they was after. As we all know in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read here real quick. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and the greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is people who Paul's warning Timothy here of, that those of among the faith has even strayed from because of this love for money. We can see the things that it causes. All kinds of evil, it says. This love for the money. Well, these thieves didn't care about nobody. All they was worried about was money. They didn't care about their neighbor. They didn't care about God. Didn't care about even their sales or what might happen to them. They were just after one thing. Money. I want us to look at these things. What should these men have been doing? Here's something I've always loved in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about those who have stealed, sold. Ephesians 4 and 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. We've done talked about it. God's Word has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all these things. We understand what the thieves should be done. Somebody who is still, let them steal no longer, but let him labor with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. So when we're laboring with our hands, God says we're to do these things which is good, that we may have things that we can give to those who are in need. But do we think about those who are in need? Do we have an attitude like that? That's what the thieves here should have had. The attitude of laboring with their own hands and not trying to steal something from others for their own personal gain, but yet laboring with their hands so that they could have something so they could give to others instead of taking from others. We need to have that type of attitude that we want to labor with our hands, not only to prosper and see how much we can gain in this world, but yet so that we can have things to help those who are in need. Let's look on at the parable there. Verse 31. Now by chance. Well, good. You got this man who fell among the thieves here in verse 30, who stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now you got this man who fell among these thieves. He's been stripped of his clothes. He's left there, beaten, half dead. Look there, as Jesus goes on in this parable, he says, but now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. Kind of leading up to, now by chance. So, kind of a good thing here for this man who's been beaten. He's got a priest just come down the road. By chance here, this priest come down. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Think about that. When this priest came down and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Didn't work out very good for the man who was beaten, left half dead here. Look at the other. This is the priest here, one who worships God, one who should obey God. But yet, he just passed by. What about Levi? We got another one coming here. Likewise, it says, a Levite. This is a Levite here. This is the one that was consecrated to God for the work of the temple. Ones who took the place of the firstborn. God's. Ones God consecrated to Himself. Now we have a Levite. When he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Surely you would think this one would help. But I want us to look at these men. Let's look at some scripture to think about these men here we're reading about. Their attitudes that they had during this time. We know who the priests are. We've been going through these things in our study. We know who the Levites are. Let's turn, if you don't mind, to Malachi chapter 2. In Malachi chapter 2, starting there in verse 7. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This is what the priest should be doing. This is who just comes, the Lord says, but by chance a priest come his way. But yet he went around. He passed by. And it says about this priest that we just read here, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. And he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He says, but in verse 8, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. These are the priests. These are the ones who should be doing these things we just talked about, who should be keeping knowledge, who should seek the law. People should be seeking the law from his mouth. He's a messenger of the Lord of hosts, but yet they've departed from that way. They've caused many to stumble. They've corrupted the covenant of the Levi. The Levites have corrupted this. These are the men that Jesus has just said who has just passed by. Let's think about this. These men here we're just looking at, these two men here, they represent the religious class of the day when Christ was here. These are the men who are teaching and who are before the others doing these things, performing the things of God. They represent this religious class. But we see here the attitudes of the priest and Levi. Both saw the man in need. Both of them saw that the man was in need. But what did they do? Or what did they not have? Well, we see here they did not have no compassion. They did not have compassion for the one in need. What type of attitude is that? These men here are one who knows what God's Word says. They should be teaching it, yet they call many to stumble. Their attitude is no longer seeking God. We see an attitude here of not one who is wanting to help others or wanting to do good. We see an attitude of selfishness out of these men. James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Do you think these men did not know to do good? They knew to do good, but all they were worried about was their self. Selfish. Does the love of God abide in these men like this? Well, the Scriptures answer that for us real clearly in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 there in verse 16 starting. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? He who has the world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Brethren, it don't. The love of God does not abide in him. We say, well, this is brethren here, though. This is his own. But we know clearly what the Scriptures teach on those things. Look in Galatians chapter 10. We all know what the Scriptures here say. We quote it many times. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The emphasis is put on those of the household of faith. But we see clearly, we cannot take away the first. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To all. To our neighbor. This is the type of attitude that we've had. This is definitely the type of attitude that these men should have had. They should have had compassion. They should have known what to do, but yet they were too much worried about themselves, their own appearances, their own standings that they had among men. They were out to please men. They were not trying to please God. We see an attitude here of one looking out for me. We in a me generation ourselves today. Everybody's looking out for their number one. They look out for themselves, not worrying about anybody else around them. We cannot have this type of attitude that the world has. Who do these men love? Do these men love God? Absolutely not. We just think from Scripture. These men do not love God. Do they love their neighbor? Absolutely not. These men love their self is all they love. What about the Samaritan attitude? We see here from his attitude, we've looked at this many times, but just compare this to ourselves. The Samaritan attitude now, if we look on into it there in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. I will repay you. Look at the Samaritan's attitude now. We've seen the attitude of the priest and Levite. All he was out for themselves. Look at the attitude now of the Samaritan. The Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. We see that in John 4:9. I'm going to go there. We see where the Samaritan woman was at the well where Jesus spoke to her. But we see here now, this Samaritan saw this one who fell among the thieves. And he had something a little bit different than the rest of them. He had compassion. He had compassion. He had love for his neighbor. He had this compassion. And because of that, we see what we just read. He used his best oil, his wine. He used his own animal to bring him back to the inn. We see here from the Samaritan's attitude, he did not wait on someone else. He did not have the attitude, well, someone else will come later. I'm in a hurry. Someone else will come and help him out. No, he had compassion. He did not wait on someone else. He did something about it. He used what he had to help out the one who was in need. He gave of his own means to provide for his care. He gave of his own means to provide for his care. He did not have the attitude of thinking, well, he got what he deserved, or I'm glad it ain't me. He had compassion. He labored for his money, and just as well as the others will labor. When we think about ourselves, we labor for our money. But he done as we just read about earlier. He labored for his money, and he gave it to him who had need. That's the person that our Lord Jesus here talks about. The one who loved his neighbor. Sometimes we think about it, I work too hard for my money. I'm going to do what I want to with it. And that's the attitude that we can get very easy, very greedy attitude. We cannot have that attitude. We are definitely not of this world, and if we are of God, then we will not have that attitude. And we cannot have that attitude. See, Jesus questioned the lawyer there. When he asked him if he showed him all these things, he says, so which of these three, after he used his parable to answer his question, who is my neighbor? So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus answered his question with a parable and asked him now which one of these three. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. So we realize from this, the one who showed mercy on the one who fell among the thieves, that's the one who loved his neighbor. That's the one who was a neighbor to him. And Jesus said to the lawyer, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise, he tells the lawyer. Think about this as we look into this attitudes here. Now I want us to turn around and want us to think about ourselves. We've seen the attitude of the priest and the Levite. They had no compassion. Who'd want them to need? We've seen the Samaritan's attitude. He saw a need there, and he took care of that need. He had compassion. He was willing to use whatever he had to help out this neighbor that he has come across. Now I want us to think about ourselves. I want us to look into it at our point now of ourselves. He did not wait. He's done these things here that we're doing. So as we look into the Samaritan's attitude, are we doing likewise? This is a great parable that our Lord and Savior has gave us. Sometimes we look at these parables and say, oh, that's a nice story. We don't ever apply these stories to our life. These parables were given to us for a reason. They were given to them for a reason to learn from. But can we learn something from these things? Think about ourselves. Are we doing likewise? Who are we like? Think about these three. The priest, the Levite. We had about the same attitude here. Or the Samaritan. There's a lot in the world out there exactly what they are. They're the thieves. They're out there ready to rob you, abuse you, do whatever. All because of love for money. Or love for themselves. And we see what the attitude here of the priest. They were the ones who was teaching the other ones. Causing them to stumble. Was not living as God would have them live, but yet they stood amongst the others to get that praise that they wanted for themselves. And that's all they were after. Do we have that type of attitude? Do we have attitude maybe that, maybe I might be like the priest. I might be like the Levite. I just ain't got time to help those who are in need. I work too hard for what I got. This is mine. They can take care of themselves. What type of neighbor are we? Some of us may say or reject those who hurt us, thinking, I'm not going to be helping them. What does God's Word tell us on that? Oh, we'll turn to Romans chapter 12. What does God's Word tell us? We know what God's Word said, but yet, are we hearers of God's Word? Or are we doers of God's Word? In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in this sight of all men. Repay no one evil for evil. You mean when somebody does me wrong, I can't shun them back? I can't give them a bad attitude back as they gave me? That's what God's Word says. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Of who? Of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, therefore I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil. If somebody shows you evil, somebody does you wrongly, and you do them wrongly back, brethren, you have been overcome by evil. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You've been overcome by the evil. When we try to repay evil, then we have been overcome by it. But we are to overcome evil by doing good. By using the good. That's how we overcome these things of the world. There's so much evil and darkness out there. But how are we going to overcome them? We've got to have the right attitude. What's going to be our attitude? Galatians, y'all will turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at a few other passages before we close. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. We've warned again. He says here that the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? We've just talked about that. But if you bite and devour one another, he says, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Brethren, it's a sad thing to see many churches become consumed by one another. Because they bite and they devour. They want to repay evil for evil. They're overcome by evil. They're no longer serving God. They're serving their own minds and their own actions. Who are we? Are we going to love our neighbor? We need to realize if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, then we don't love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We cannot have partiality that we've been talked about a few times. But you'll turn to James chapter 2. Let's look at that. In James chapter 2. Partiality he deals with here. James 2, starting in verse 5, we see here, they're talking about the ones who come amongst them with a rich man and a poor man. And they give good place for the one who's come in wearing fine clothes. And they say to him there in verse 3, "You sit here in a good place," and say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "You sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' and also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak as so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Partiality is a sin. Very plainly, partiality is a sin. Do we show mercy? Or have we been like the priest and the Levite, who has no mercy, no compassion, who thinks of no one but themselves? We cannot be as those. We have to have the attitude that God would have us to have. In Matthew 10:28, where He talks about, He says, "If you do these things, then you may live." When He says, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you do those things, you will live. We must do those things. We must have that love for our neighbors. Sometimes I think we don't think so much on those things. We think about just helping one another as a brethren, but he's not part of me. He's not a brother or sister in Christ. I'm not going to help him. We're told to go father and father than that. We're told to look out for those, all those out there in the world that we see. We need to have compassion on those as well. Realizing that we have a great influence on being that love that we need to be and that servant we need to be to all those. Who knows if we might not draw those to God by our actions, by the things that we do, by the love that they see in us, the love of Christ. We will look at many might look though and want to go the other way. Maybe we have looked and gone the other way as the priest and Levi. We can change now. We can start having compassion on those that we've seen. We can have compassion and we can help those who are in need. Does the love of God abide in us? Ask ourselves that. Does the love of God abide in us? If the love of God abides in us, then we will love our neighbors as ourselves. And we must love our neighbors as ourselves. We must not be trying to overcome evil with good, but do good unto all men. To all men. Don't forget that. We're told emphasis there, and especially to those of the household of faith, but we cannot drop the first part because of the latter. We must do good to all men. Are we doing good to all men? Are we being that shining light that we need to be in the world? We see what happened to the priests and Levites, their attitudes. They rejected Christ. They rejected the things that was coming to them. We talked about the wedding feast last time. They had the invitation. They were invited. But yet they rejected it. They made light of the matter. Think about ourselves as we go into this world. And as we live, conduct ourselves. Don't let us get caught up into the world's attitude and trying to chase these worldly things that's all around us, trying to grab all that we can grab, and yet we lose our soul. Let us be who our Heavenly Father would have us to be. Servants. We're servants of His. And being servants of His, we are servants of one another, and we are going to love our neighbor as ourselves. So think about those things as we live and conduct ourselves here on this earth. Realize this world is not my home. Let's have that compassion that we need to have for one another and for all those out there. Brethren, if there's any here that who may not have become a child of God yet, you have that opportunity now to become a child of God. To repent of your sins, to confess Him, and be buried with Him in baptism. Or maybe there's some here who's just fallen away. Might need prayer to the congregation. For whatever reason, if we can help you now, we can come, bid you come now as we stand and sing. The song has been selected.